Well, desire interest in your prayers this morning. I have a little thought from the Lord that I believe, timely, given the fact that we will be starting the revival a week from today. And it's something that even, I guess you could say it this way, this message is for me too. So it's not just for those of you sitting in the pews. It's for all of us. I'll write the title on the board here. I have written on the board two words, examine yourselves. And it actually comes from a scripture in 2 Corinthians. Maybe let's turn and read that real quick. 2 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. Verse 5. And we'll just pull basically the first part of this verse. 1 Corinthians 13 and 5. It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. So here we have just a short portion of the scripture. And this is something that, we'll just ask it this way. When we were in school, those of us that are older now, and we'll speak to the children too, in school, would they say on a Monday morning, would they give you... would the teacher tell you, okay, sometime this week, children or students, we want you to give yourself a test on all the everything we've reviewed last week. Sometime this week, just give yourself a test. Was that ever the case? Did the teachers ever do that? No, it was the teachers set a time and everyone took the test at the same time. But here we have in life, okay, we all are faced with the same adversities as in the world. There's pressures from the world. The enemy has all kinds of tactics to deceive us, to trick us, to tempt us. So we face the same devil. But here it is, we have yet something that we have to get a hold of for ourselves, and that is to examine ourselves. You see, there's something about it that I can't walk around the room, and you can't walk around the room and get into someone's life and say, okay, I'm going to give you a little test here. How have you been doing in this, in this, in this? You see what I'm saying? We could do that. In fact, there are religions out there, and there are movements out there, cults out there, that they allow that to take place, where leaders in the congregation and maybe others in the congregation are allowed to scrutinize and to examine your life down to the nitty-gritty details and tell you what you should or shouldn't be doing. You know, that's scary because that's taking the place of God. But here it is, this is an accountability we all have towards God and towards one another that we examine ourselves. But here it is, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith and prove your own selves. Well, we know what examine or prove means. It's basically to test or scrutinize. So you could put it this way. Basically, it would be taking inventory of our own personal spiritual life. Now, that gets down pretty close. That gets down to where, you know, you don't want anyone else to know sometimes. This is just between me and you, Lord. And sometimes it's as if we can kind of like think we can trick the Lord and say, Lord, I don't even want to talk to you about it. You see what I'm saying? Because it gets close to home sometimes. But ultimately, it is to our advantage if we would face those things on this side of eternity, examine our own selves and say, Lord, is there something in there that needs to be changed? Something that needs to be altered? But what happens is we as humans, it's so easy to deceive ourselves, and in deceiving ourselves, we end up deceiving others, ultimately, into thinking that I'm okay, just how I am. And I don't need any improvement. I don't need any tests, any spiritual tests or examinations. It's as if we become fake, were not real, a counterfeit, a hypocrite, if you want to get it how Jesus put it. And you know, it reminds me of back in Bible times, and it's interesting how they were able to, obviously without the form of technology we have today, but in Bible times, they were able to trick each other by using fake coins. Now, they might coat it, plate it with gold or silver, but it's supposed to be solid gold or solid silver. And they would weigh those on scales, and they would exchange goods accordingly. But some would get crafty and would actually coat other metals, all right, to where it looked like a gold coin or a silver coin, but it really wasn't. They were cheating someone. It was a fake. It was a counterfeit. Well, nowadays we have our coins and our dollar bills, and especially the bills, the five, the tens, to all the way up to hundreds and beyond, that they have these little things ingrained in these bills where it's a little strip or a hidden little face, or they do the dye test or all these little things to see if it's counterfeit or not. And you know, that's really what, speaking of the revival, that's really what this revival is about. It's, we want the Lord to come down and to examine us, to test us, to see what's really in there. What do we really have on hand spiritual-wise? What do we have on hand, what we would need to make it to the other side? Do we have on hand where we can stand the judgment shock, so to speak? Do we have on hand the grace, the strength, the whatever you fill in the blank there, to face the next week, the next year, the adversities that the Lord is preparing us for, and at the same time he's hoping that we would gain some spiritual ground to where we wouldn't crumble? And that's what we want to get to here in a little bit. Matthew, the 21st chapter. And here is another verse that is not appealing to the flesh. Matthew 21. You see, what happens is the Lord, he desires that we would learn from maybe our past mistakes, learn from times when maybe we didn't have on hand what we should have on hand. It would save us from some heartache and from some disappointments and potential troubles, whatever the case is. It would save us a lot if we would learn now. If we would take inventory now and say, Lord, help fill in the gap here. But in Matthew, the 21st chapter, in verse 44, it says, "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." So what he's saying here is, the first part of this is, if we are willing to fall on the stone now, on our own accord, self-examine ourselves now, things would be much better off than if we were to be ground to powder. Because think of it in a literal sense. How easy would it be to take, say, you've seen these little concrete statues, the ornaments people put in their yards or on their porches. But if you took a little concrete statue, just for instance here, and you took it and threw it against a really sharp point, it might bust into 4, 5, 6 pieces, kind of crack it, kind of bust into a few pieces there. But I've actually seen some people that have been able to take those pieces and put them back together. Or even some clay pots, you know, just that it may fall over and it cracks 4 or 5 pieces, chunks, and they'll glue them back together and they look pretty good. And so it's not as difficult to repair it. But if you took something, just think of this. Take that same little stone statue or the clay pot. Let's just use the clay pot, for example. And you take that, you all know what the steamrollers are, that they use for paving roads. And you take that and throw it down in front of a steamroller and let this multi-thousand pound vehicle roll over that. It's going to crush it to powder. And how much easier would it be, or how much more difficult would it be, to repair that, to put all the pieces back together, to make something? You understand the connection here? That the Lord is saying, while you have time now, and while, especially to the children and the teenagers, while you're young, fall upon this stone. Examine yourselves now. It'll save yourself a lot of heartache down the road. Spare yourself a lot of trouble if you would repair or if you would examine yourself now. Analyze what's in your life. I'm going to tell you a little story about an individual. It's been about 100 years ago. It was a, his name was Sir Arthur Keith. And he was a famous anatomist over in Europe and studied the human body and things with science. And over time, became an evolutionist. But here's the interesting part. He was later turned, or I should say, he was almost converted at one point in his life, but then he was later turned to be a strong evolutionist just by one thing. And it was a discovery of the Piltdown Man, which was someone, a skeleton that they excavated. And they did some studies on it, and it seemed to be proving out some of these theories of evolution. And so he was, I guess you would say, tricked into believing that, oh, well, maybe evolution is right. And maybe there is something to this. And so this one example of this body that was excavated, and he eventually turned into an evolutionist. Well, he believed that for about 40 years. In fact, he even wrote a book on the Piltdown Man and similar beliefs, wrote a book on it. And then later in life, I think he died in his late 80s, but later in his life, he finally came to the realization, and it was made known to the public that the Piltdown Man was nothing but a hoax. Now, what do you think, how do you think he felt when that was finally made known? In other words, for all these years, he'd been putting his faith in something that was not true to begin with, and he was almost converted, so it's like he was so close. If he would have continued to fall on that stone, so to speak, and say, Lord, is there really something here? And break down himself, say, okay, I'm willing to accept it, Lord, that their creation is the only way. That you created all these things and accept it for what it really was. But he was so close, but then he was turned by one little deception, one little hoax. A very intelligent man based his whole life on that, wrote a book on it. And in the end, you could say he was crushed to powder because his life was just a laughingstock. It was people just, what, you believe that for, oh, there's still some people that believe he was a good man, which is fine. But the point of the matter is, he based 40 years of his life off of a hoax. What a waste of life. What a waste of time. What a waste of energy, of intelligence, all those things. He was ground to powder. Why? I believe he didn't do a full self-examination. I want to write that on the board here. I'll have 3 points. This is the first point. Self-exam. You see, there's something about self-exam is very difficult. Because it's acknowledging that, you know, I really don't know everything. And I really need some help here. And someone is going to have to teach me and guide me and show me what to do. The last couple of services or couple of messages I had, one of them was on being disciples of Christ. Another one on being teachable. And there's something about it that someone that is truly teachable is someone that's willing to self-exam on their own accord. Maybe they hear something, in a message, in a song, a testimony, or in a conversation with someone, and the Lord pricks their hearts about that particular thing in their life. You know what that person's going to do that's willing to self-exam? They're going to go home and they're going to study it out. And they're going to pray through that thing and they're going to say, Lord, is there something here or is this just the devil trying to trick me? You see what I'm saying? That's what Sir Arthur should have done. Is he should have went home when he heard about this hoax of the Piltdown Man. If he would have went home and actually prayed about it and sought the Lord about it, you know what I believe? The Lord would have shown him that it was a hoax. I really believe the Lord would have. If he would have had an open and honest heart before the Lord, say, Lord, put everything else aside. What do you want me to believe? You know, the Lord's not going to lead us astray. Hey, let me ask you this question. Have you ever known of the Lord to lead you astray or someone else astray? I haven't. But you could say that's one of the first little tests we can say to ourselves and ask ourselves, has the Lord ever led me astray? No, okay. Well, then maybe I should go study His Word. And self-exam, saying, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, open to me your truth. Well, again, sometimes, though, the truth hurts. When the Lord reveals something in your or my life, and we realize, that's really true, and I need to change that? Wow. Sometimes it's not easy. But I want to tell you something. You know, the Lord has something for that. It's called the Comforter. It's called the Holy Spirit that can come down. And because I want to tell you something, the Lord doesn't work in a way. I've used this example so many times with the young people. The Lord doesn't work with you like someone drives their goats. I want to tell you something. Just this year, we've got a couple of goats at our house. The boys got a couple of goats. And I've come to realize how bullheaded and stubborn they are. More than driving them, you got to push them. I mean, you got to do all kinds of things to get them to go certain places. But that's how the devil treats you and I. Beating us, dragging us, pushing us, kicking us, doing whatever. But the Lord treats us like a sheep. He will gently lead us and call us, walks ahead of us along the way, and gently calls us by name, gently leads us. I want to tell you something. That means something. Because how many times have we gone through life, especially those of us that have worked on a public job or had a cruel teacher at school or whatever the case, and you know what it's like to be beat up emotionally, so to speak. You understand what I'm saying there? Where somebody's just constantly nagging on you and harping on you and putting you down. And does that endear yourself to them? Oh, no. You just kind of want to shrink back. And I want to tell you something. The Lord doesn't work that way either. It's a gentle spirit. The Comforter. That's why Jesus called it, I'm going to send you the Comforter when I go away. Because you're going to need some comfort. Jesus knew that Peter was going to need some special comfort. When Peter realized after self-examining that Peter had some ugly ways about him. Peter was pretty selfish, you know. But it's the same with you and I. The Lord knows that we need the Comforter. So isn't that a blessing to know we have the Comforter? And we go along through life and we self-examine. We realize, what's the scripture say about mortify the flesh? That means to cut off. We realize we got some areas in our lives, we're self-examining, we're seeing, uh-oh, I got some issues here. I'm going to have to cut some things off. The Comforter again is going to come by. And what the Holy Spirit do? Endued them with power. So not only comfort, that they don't feel just totally crushed by it, but to give us power, enabling power and grace to rise above that, to conquer that thing that's in our life, to cut that thing off, whatever it is. And there's some more scriptures we'll read here, familiar scriptures. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 3 through 5, it says, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, that you fake, you fraud, you counterfeit. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. You realize what this is saying? Sometimes we get a beam so big in our own eye, in our own life, that we can't even see how to help someone else. But we got this beam stuck in our eye, and we're walking around, and we're thumping around and hitting stuff, and we're trying to, you know. But Lord, help us to pull that beam out of our own eye. Then we can see clearly, oh, how is the Lord, oh, He's leading me to do this. And I need to do, oh, and let me help, oh, and you can help someone. I'm going to tell you something. One of the biggest ways you can be a help to someone else is to get that beam out of your eye. You understand what I'm saying? That allow the Lord and prove to the Lord, you mean business, say, Lord, I can't pull this beam out, it's too big. And others can see that, yeah, they got a big old beam and they're clunking around beating themselves up with this big, and beating everybody else up with this big beam. But then they see the Lord get a hold of them. They self-examine. They're like, wow, this beam is too big. I'm getting tired of it. It's hurting. I can't see. I can't function. And when they finally get down to business, say, Lord, help me get this beam out. And the Lord takes that beam out of their life and delivers them. What do you think that's going to do to others that have been seeing this big beam that, wow, that inspires me. The Lord helped them. Maybe the Lord can help me. You realize how that works? It's beautiful how that works. But who is the author of all this? The Lord. The Lord is the one, again, has sent the comfort. The Lord is the one that allows the trials and tests to come our way to see what we're going to do with these things. Are we going to self-examine ourselves? Are we willing to say, yes, Lord, that's the beam right here. Lord, help take it out. And you know, that actually takes us to the second step here. I'll write it on the board. I have written point number two, assisted exam. Well, you're probably scratching your head wondering, what's this about? Well, remember the familiar scripture we quote often in Psalms 139th chapter. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know what that's doing? That's coming to the point saying, Lord, I don't even know how to self-examine. Maybe I don't even have the strength or the courage to do it. You understand the point here? Because I'm in such a predicament here. I don't even know which way to turn. I don't even know what questions to ask. I don't know how to examine myself. And you're saying, oh, Lord, that's what David's saying. Search me, oh, God. Lord, you're going to have to do the searching. You're going to have to do the examining. And it's saying, search me, oh, God, and know my heart. And try me. He's saying, Lord, you know my heart. I don't want to do evil. I want to live for you. I want to do good. I want to do things to help others. And I want to improve. I want to gain these victories, but I don't know how to get there. And you're just telling the Lord, search me, oh God. And that's assisted exam. Now I'm going to tell you another little story. I've shared this before in the past, but I'll do it again. It's a story about, it's in the business world. And it's a way, of course, in the business world, everyone wants to make more money, be more profitable. And they find areas, they'll do their own little studies and realize, man, we're not making as much. Our profit margin is shrinking here, and we should be making more money. And then there's also, tacked on top of that, theft. Theft is one of the serious threats to our economy, obviously. Different forms of theft, but sometimes it's internal. I've spoken with some individuals that used to work with Walmart, and they said some of the greatest percentages and volumes of theft was internal. Their own employees, contractors, whatever. But there's some private businesses, smaller ones, that would have theft issues as well. And this one particular story, in fact, there were several, and this one we're going to talk about was actually a very upper scale dealership that had high-end vehicles, sports cars for sale out in California. And they had, your Ferraris, your BMWs, just your high-end vehicles. And they obviously over the course of time, they'd have had a few thefts, but they knew that things could get better. They knew there was still a great threat, a potential. And so they hired this team called the Tiger Team. And this Tiger Team was basically professional legal thieves, if you understand what I'm saying. What they went around doing is for any businesses that would hire them, they would test their security systems. They would test all their ways of keeping track of the customers' documents, all the files, the computer, the software side. There's that side, all the cyberspace side. Then there's the physical side of their building, their structure, and all these things that these individuals and this Tiger Team would go around testing these facilities, these businesses, to see if there were any loopholes, any possibilities of someone breaking in and stealing from, ultimately causing them to go bankrupt or whatever the case is. So here's what they did. They hired this Tiger Team, and they talked to them months in advance here, and they went over everything, the potential of what they might be doing. This Tiger Team, that they're going to come test them someday. But they didn't know when it was going to be. It's going to be months down the road, and all of a sudden, it's going to happen. Okay? So the owner of the company, he agreed to it. Yes, let's do this, because I want to make sure we're airtight on this, and I don't want any chance of my vehicles being broken into or my customers' confidential information being stolen and any of that stuff. He wanted to make it airtight. So they agreed to it, and they hired him. Well, it was months later, and sure enough, one day, the owner gets a phone call, they've been broken into. Oh, he was upset. Oh, man, he's just going on. And sure enough, the thieves had came in, and they had taken some of the cars. And here's the thing. They didn't actually take any cars. They just broke inside, took the cars out for a spin, and parked them in totally different configurations inside the showroom just to show that they had been there. And then they took several of the customers' confidential documents, stole them, took them out of the safe, and did all these things. And maybe, I don't know what else they did, but just caused a bunch of ruckus. And oh, the owner was upset. He's like, oh, this is just not right. Well, finally, before it was all said and done, the news was finally broken to him that it was the Tiger team that did this. Oh, and he was still a little infuriated that, well, but then he remembered, then they reminded, had this meeting with the Tiger team and reminded him, this is what you hired us to do. And by the way, and they made this long list, this printout of all the loopholes, all the issues, security issues he had for this business. And when it was all said and done, he's finally going, oh, I see. The security cameras need fixed, all these other things, all these list of improvements that they needed to make, these changes for the security. And then he realized, you know what? That's a good thing. And he was willing then to pay the cost. And it wasn't a cheap price tag to pay these fellows to do this. But he found all these issues and was then willing to make the changes because he wanted to be secure. You know, that's the same with you and I. That we aren't capable within ourselves sometimes. Yes, we can do the self-exam, the basics, all right? But then there comes a point when we have to ask the Lord for assistance. Say, Lord, I don't know how to fix this problem. There's some leaks in the security system, so to speak, in my soul or in my spirit. And something's getting seeped out. And there's something that maybe a little leech that's sucking some life out of me. And I don't know where it is. And Lord, would you put your finger on it? That's what David is saying. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my intentions, my motives, whatever it is. And the Lord starts coming, and it may be weeks, days, we don't know how long it's going to be. And the Lord starts putting his finger on those things, and we're going, what's going on here? And this doesn't feel good. But then the Lord, through his Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will remind us, do you remember that time when you asked me to search you? Oh, I forgot about that. And the Lord will bring that back to our mind and remind us that you asked for some assistance. This is me working in your life. I'm exposing some areas in your life that need some attention. And then we start getting the picture. Oh, I see. And then the Lord's saying, and here's the beauty of it. These guys, the Tiger team, do you think they just walked in there and told him all the problems and then walked out the door and left? No, guess what they also offered? They offered professional advice and assistance because they've been doing this for years, and the proof of it was they were such experts, none of the alarms went off. Isn't that amazing? This high-tech building, this business, but they were such experts, none of the alarms went off. That proves how professional they were. And yes, in the end, they were able to give professional advice and counsel to help this owner patch up all these issues, these security issues, these security breaches, patch all those things up. You know, the Lord can do the same with us. He is more than willing to assist us, to help us patch up the areas, the loopholes, whatever it is in our lives that we need help with. But it comes at a cost. What's the scripture say? Take up your cross daily. Deny yourself. And as I mentioned earlier, mortify the flesh. What's some of the other scriptures talking about? If that eye offend thee, pluck it out. thy hand offend thee, cut it off, all those things. That's not easy on the flesh. That's no fun. That's no cakewalk. But I want to tell you something. The Lord is not willing to grind you to powder as long as you're willing to self-examine and ask for His assistance. He's going to lead you each step of the way. He's going to comfort you along the way and give you power and grace and strength along. Because He knows, guess what? We are human and we are but flesh. And He realizes that we can only handle so much. Unlike with this business owner, this guy, he lists off the whole long list of things. And it was such a surprise and shock to him. He's like, no way. He just couldn't believe it. You know, I believe the Lord is so patient and loving and kind to us that He's not just going to unroll a whole long list. Like, here's all the things you've messed up on. You rotten little creature. You can't get a hold of yourself. You can't get the victory. Look at all these things. The Lord's not going to do that. It's going to be a step in it. What's the scripture say? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little and there a little. The Lord's going to lead us along the way gently and consistently. The Lord, here's the thing. If we mean business with the Lord's going to treat us like adults. You understand what I'm saying? There comes a point when, yes, we're babes in Christ. And we're just drinking the little milk, just the little things. But as we continue to grow, the Lord expects more of us. The things that we have heard, the things that we know, the things we understand, the Lord's going to require that of us. There comes a point where we have to be, yes, Lord, self-examine. Lord, I examine myself. But then, like, the next step is, Lord, would you search me? I'm getting so desperate now that I realize all these struggles. I need some extra help here to get over this hump, over this hurdle. I mean business. I want to make it to heaven. Yes. And it's like, Lord, search me. Dig around. Well, then it comes to the last point I have here. I've written on the board, desire. Let's read a little story in closing. Mark, the 5th chapter. It's a familiar story. Mark 5, verses 25, we'll start. It's the woman with the issue of blood. Mark 5, verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Let's just stop right there. You realize there's a lot of folks in this condition? Maybe some of us right here this morning. I don't know. I'm not the Lord. I know we all have our, if you could say, our mountain top experiences and our valley experiences. So there's sometimes maybe we really feel like this woman. Other times maybe we feel on the other side. But it's saying here, an issue of blood for 12 years. Just stop for a moment and think. I mean, this is going to be an extreme example. Think of, say, the times when you've had the flu. I just had it last week. It was just, thankfully, a 24-hour flu bug. But when you have the flu and you're sick, you have fever, and you're doing, you know, you can't keep any food down, and you feel miserable, and you ache, and just for analogy's sake here, think of feeling that way for 12 years straight. I don't know how sick this woman was, but obviously it says she had spent all that she had, probably wasn't able to work like she should to help provide, or whatever the case was, had no money left, she was exhausted physically. Been sick for 12 years. Went to everyone around. Lord, you know, she didn't know what else to do. Just going to everyone and none of them could help her. None better than she was actually growing worse. Well, then verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus. You know, sometimes that's all it takes. Just to hear about Jesus can give you a glimmer of hope. Just to speak His name. And think about, what did He do for me? He gave His life for me. You know, what's that scripture say? Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that He lay down His life. And when I start thinking about that, I don't know of too many other folks really on this earth that would be willing to give up their life for me. But yet to think that someone already did, and that was Jesus. You know, that speaks volumes to me. That gets my attention. And that's what she had been hearing about. All these miracles, these healings Jesus had been conducting already in His ministry. She had heard about Jesus. She was at her wit's end with her situation. She heard about Jesus. But it didn't stop there. Then it says she came in the press behind Him and touched His garment. You know what that tells me? Desire. She had a desire to be delivered. She had a desire to be made whole. She had a desire that she didn't know what was going on. Obviously, something in her life was not right. For 12 years, she didn't understand what it was. And I don't even think she knew at the time that when she was coming to Jesus, that I dare say for the rest of her life, Him being her Savior, that Jesus was able to help her self-exam and assist her in examining. And I don't know what the end of her life was, but I dare say once she was touched and made whole, and Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You know, I think she was changed. And she realized, this is exactly what I've been searching for. I found it. But let me tell you something. She had to press to get there. And it wasn't just the crowd. Think of how weak she already was physically. But she had something she desired so much. Just to touch the hem of His garment. And you could say it this way. Just to be in the presence of the Lord. That there's going to be made a change in her life. Just like with this lady, the change in her life was a physical healing. But I want to tell you something. For us here this morning, if we find ourselves in a situation where we want some deliverance, we want some healing, we want a change, a positive change to take place in our lives, you're going to have to prove to the Lord that you mean business. Just like this lady did, she proved to the Lord, and I want to tell you something. I dare say Jesus knew someone was seeking Him. Right then, I could dare say Jesus could sense in His spirit, and no doubt He even knew her name. He didn't see her, but He sensed in His spirit someone was wanting some help. I want to tell you something. Like I mentioned earlier, the revival's coming up. The Lord knows our spirits and our desires. He knows if we really mean business. I want to tell you something. He's willing to meet you and I there. Just like He was willing to meet this lady here, to meet her need. Jesus didn't all of a sudden, when she starts getting close to Him, just jerk away, say, nuh-uh, and play a game with her and kind of run away from her. No, Jesus sensed the urgency of her spirit. She meant business. She wanted deliverance. And Jesus accepted that. Jesus accepted her desire. It's been said this way. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. Let me say that again. Man's extremity is God's opportunity. Because we all know the scripture I quote often. With God, but with man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. That is the Jesus that we serve here this morning. So if we have something in our lives and we got the revival coming up, you're saying, I'm going to tell you, if we tell ourselves right off the get-go that, well, I don't know that I really want to go to the revival because the Lord might expose something and I might have to change. And that's not going to be fun. Well, that's up to you. It's a self-exam. It's up to you if you ask the Lord for the exam. It's ultimately your desire. It's your choice. It's your life. It's not mine. But you could end up being like Sir Arthur. And be deceived. And not just be deceived for a week or two or a year. But for the rest of your life. for 40 years. You could be deceived just to one little thing that if you would have, just that one more time, if I would press through the crowd and say, Lord, I want something more. Lord, I want you to touch my life. And the Lord's saying, here you go. And you don't have to be deceived. You can be delivered. You don't have to be deceived anymore. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That we can all put in for this. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how long we've been serving the Lord. It doesn't matter if we're not even serving the Lord. We all could use a self-exam. We could all use an assisted exam with the Lord's help. But in the end, it's up to you and I. No one is going to hold a baseball bat over your head and say, you better or else. No, the Lord doesn't do that. Oh, the devil's going to beat you up. Be sure of that, because how many of us have already felt the devil's beat us up before? Well, we know what it feels like. Well, do you think he's going to stop? What's the scripture say? The devil, our adversary, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That means who he wants to beat up again. Beat them up to pulp where they're sitting over there in the corner and they don't feel like they can do anything because they failed and this and that and that, and they've ran away from the Lord, and the devil keeps beating them up, and finally they accept the fact that, no, I can't do anything. And they just kind of disappear, so to speak. You see what I'm saying? But is that what this woman, she'd fought with this for 12 years. She wanted something. Let me tell you something this morning. She got it. Why? She desired it. And that's the same with you and I. What do we desire? Do we want victory in our life? Do we want to have a ringing testimony? Do we want power with God? Do we want deliverance? This is the way to get it. And when this revival is coming up, I don't know what all the Lord has given Brother Rodney, but I'm assured of this one thing. The Lord will give us what we need. The Lord will give us what we desire. The Lord's going to meet us here. If we don't show up, well, we probably won't get it. But even when we do show up and we hear and the word goes forth and it maybe cuts across our flesh and all that, but what about your desire? How bad do you want that deliverance? It's up to you and I. Pray for me that I'll be faithful.